Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about shelter, what it is, how to provide it, and how to recognize it when you're receiving
it. Hey, you know, Bernadette, I have got to say that I feel like you are a very sheltering person. I've watched you do it with our own children and with our grandchildren and with many people that have come into our home. And you just, I don't know where you got that in particular. Is that your father or your mom that were just,
I don't know. I know that somewhere, I remember when we were having children, I remember thinking that maybe we should have foster children. And that was the thing between us. That wasn't something you were really interested in doing. God ultimately brought that to our lives through nothing that we went after.
Right.
So I just think somewhere in there, he had that for me and was preparing me for it. Because it was nothing I ever felt like I was going after. It just suddenly showed up in my heart one day.
Well, shelter is interesting, and I was trying to look for a synonym, and I would say that covering, because the idea of shelter has a lot of different sides to it when you think about the American idea of shelter, but really the biblical idea of shelter is a covering, to provide shelter from the storm. That's kind of the context of it. And that kind of starts me out in Matthew 13. He presented another parable to them. This is Jesus saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants. So it stands up in the garden and it becomes like a small tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." And, I've had a lot of conversations with people. Some people think it's talking about, evil birds and whatever. I don't believe that. I think this is talking about a picture. You take the smallest seed, it grows up in the garden, which is where God works. And then it provides a place for people, in my analogy of it, the birds of the air, to find shelter in the midst of the garden.
Well, and I think there are a lot of different levels, at least in our lives, it appears that there are a lot of different levels of what kind of shelter you show someone. So there are simple things like sharing a meal with someone when you know that they really can't afford to get through the end of the week on their budget of groceries. And so it's kind of a dignified way of allowing their grocery budget to go to the end. There's also the idea that when you're in a conversation with someone, and maybe you know they're just going through a divorce or have lost a child, and you realize the conversation is really getting to them emotionally, and you step in and kind of buffer that and give them a chance to regroup. There are all kinds. I mean, those are the smaller ways of sheltering, but boy, they are important.
Well, and even as you're talking about that, I think about how many conversations I've had with moms and dads who live in neighborhoods that have tons of opportunities to provide shelter because of, work issues, supervision issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you just are able to open your family and open your home to somebody who just needs to be covered in a way that they're not necessarily able to receive in the situation that they're in.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in high school, I had a friend stay with us a lot, and all of a sudden I realized, man, she has, it's just kind of like, you want to stay overnight tonight? And it was happening night after night after night. Well, what I didn't realize, and my mother did know, was that her parents were having difficulty. Mm-hmm. And at some point, she went home, and later I found out that her mother had thanked my mom for giving her a place to be cared about. And I was a little oblivious to it. I was a little bit like, well, this is kind of cool, having somebody stay every night.
Well, shelter has many, many forms that it can take. And that's kind of what we're trying to stimulate today and talk about that a little bit, because you have unique opportunities to do that. But this verse in Psalm 61, "Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings." And I just love this picture of the wings of God, that in so many situations spread out. They're kind of like angel's wings or eagle's wings or whatever, but they cover, he covers you. I think it says somewhere with his pinions, which is a different way of looking at how a wing works. But that is kind of the picture of who God is. God is a shelterer with his wings, and that's what he passes on to us, is that opportunity to shelter others to the degree that we have our own wings, our ways of sheltering people.
And one of the ways that I look at that verse and that I am not obedient to it and is
Are you confessing this?
I am confessing this. You know, if something happens to me and my tendency is to not go straight to God, my tendency is to pick up my phone or and text or call someone and tell them what's going on because I really want their sympathy or their approval or just I want to, you know, vent. I want to get, you know, get this off my chest. When in reality, often what I really need is to go sit close to God and receive from Him what I'm looking for from my friends. Now, I'm not negating that friends are important. I just know
that's
in my heart.
Friends are for.
I just know in my heart the difference between when I'm going to my friends for something that really only God can give me.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that we were discussing yesterday about Psalm 91 and how Psalm 91 is kind of filled with pictures about that. Maybe things that you might normally go to your friends for or your girlfriend for, but that we're supposed to, you know, consider in our relationship with God. So let's talk about that a little bit, because I think you were kind of
interacting with
that.
You know, I have this printed out because I looked at the psalm getting ready and it was like, oh my goodness, there's so much in here. But really, I want to read it. And I'm going to read it out of the message because sometimes the word pictures there are good. I understand it's not a translation, so don't misunderstand that I think it's the greatest thing ever. But I do like its word pictures. But I'm going to read it and I'm going to ask you to interrupt me and take some of these word pictures and put them in today's lingo. What does it mean
I'll
for
do
me
my
today?
Best.
Okay, Psalm 91. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow and say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe.
Let me interrupt you because those names that Eugene Peterson has translated right there from the original languages talk about God being a protector and being Almighty God over all things. And that picture that he's representing right there is a confident feeling of a servant under the wings of the one who has the authority to cover him. Hmm. There, it's not like there's any fear involved. He's laying out the picture. So that's
cool.
Striking.
That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps. He shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you, and under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day. Not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon.
That list, that's an interesting list, because if you put it into the context of where it was written and the time it was written, those were very poignant things for people traveling through the wilderness, living in the world that they lived in at that particular time. You know, when we were in Israel and we went out to where David spent a lot of time, you know, out in the wilderness or whatever, kind of a scary kind of a place. So read that list again.
Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night.
Okay, wild wolves in the night. I don't know how it makes you feel. Now, we don't have any wild wolves,
out
in Waukee, but and that's creepy,
it's creepy.
I've been sleeping in a tent before, camping with some kids, and I've had like coyotes tear through a whole pack of them chasing something. That's scary. I can't even imagine if it was a pack of wolves.
Mm-hmm. Not flying arrows in the day. And I even just think about this, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. It's just, the arrows that come at us, the missiles.
Well, and that relates to that shield of faith that God's given us that we can hold up to extinguish those fiery darts from the evil one.
So not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon.
Now think about all the fears that people have, that we have, just the idea of disease. I was talking to somebody the other day about a sixth grader who just got cancer. And I mean, that sets into motion so many things and so many feelings. And what God is saying is not that people aren't going to get cancer or that they're not going to have disease. He's just saying that I'm going to be there and I'm going to cover you with my wings. And how many times have we heard that story where people who had every reason to give up or to be discouraged or to become angry with God
were at peace
and have submitted and nestled in underneath God's protective wings?
Mm-hmm. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You will stand untouched, watch it all from a distance, and watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. And if you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling.
Well, and that's interesting. Just in those last couple of verses that you read, he described a home, you know, where mm-hmm. God is your home. But he also described the angels going with you when you go out.
Okay.
So that's a picture of what the faith environment looks like. And our home is in God, but we spend time out in the world, out in the wilderness. And that's when he sends his angels to protect us as his emissaries to take care of us, which it says, it teaches that in various passages of scripture. So that's kind of talking about God covering you when you're at home and God covering you when you're away.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. You will walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. I love that picture.
Yeah, it's nice. I hate snakes, so that's great.
If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I will get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. And I will give you a long life. I will give you a long drink of salvation.
What a beautiful psalm. And I want to dedicate that psalm right now to people in our city that are providing shelter. You know, mm-hmm. in our involvement with
yes.
Pulse 101.7, we've gotten to know so many great people in our city. People that work at Freedom for Youth, Hope Ministries, Wildwood Hills Ranch, Ruth Harbor, and Pulse itself. There are so many people that are doing the best that they can to provide shelter. I think about all the youth workers that we've met that take care of people, all the social workers. There's like this huge network of servants that God has put around our city, and we're living out kingdom life providing shelter. And I'll tell you, I might not always agree about everything with people I run into, not just from those organizations,
right.
but from just people in the community. But when I share, when I sense that I share that in common providing of shelter, man, that goes a long way in my heart to do whatever I can to support whatever those people, that group or that individual is doing.
Well, and just knowing that God put it in their hearts to do that, you know, that's not a sacrifice you decide to go, oh, this would be fun.
That's right.
You know, it's not an easy life to sacrifice yourself for people who have less or who are in dire straits. And so just knowing God put that in their hearts is really, it's an encouragement to want to be around them and help them.
So foster parents, you know, adoptive parents, people who are big brothers, big sisters, all the different things that people do, way to go. Thank you so much mm-hmm. for doing your part. You know, we're a part of a big story and a big tapestry, and you know, your part matters because shelter matters to God. In Curious Journey, on page 49, I wrote a chapter about shelter, mm-hmm. and you can find that book at fourstream.com, either in printed form or
an
ebook or whatever. It's all there for you. And as you consider that and look at that, I kind of wrote a story about shelter in there and some of my experiences down at Wildwood Hills Ranch, because mm-hmm. we got to be involved with the
right.
startup of that ranch, and some pretty sweet, mm-hmm. tough things happened there. And if you'd like to read that, you can check that out along with a bunch of other stories.
Tough exterior, tender interiors.
Yes. And I also have a new book coming out soon, and I want to kind of start talking about that a little bit over the next few weeks. It's called Kingdom, and it's the subtitle is Finding Your True Self. And just like we're trying to find hope here at forestream.com, we're also trying to understand the kingdom. And shelter is such a big part of the kingdom. And when we understand that, it's a huge deal. Forestream.com, collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button.
And together we are finding hope at forthstream.com.
Thanks, Bernadette.
You're welcome.